Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very, very, very senior professional from the corporate world, currently in Jordan, formerly in Bahrain, Mr. Ihab Hinavi. Ihab, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for giving me the chance.
Thank you.
You are a great friend and good person.
Thank you. Ihab is the former chief executive officer of Batelco, which is Bahrain Telecom. He's also the former CEO of Batelco's International Investments. So, Ihab, given the fact that you've spent so much time in telecom, and you have been part of the very significant growth this industry has seen over the last few decades, let's talk telecom. Let's start with asking you, what are some of the significant changes you have seen in telecom over the last two decades?
Thank you, Ashutosh. That's a big question. And I think maybe if you ask this question to a layman person, as a normal user of any telecommunication, will tell you that, oh my God, we were using a phone of that size, now a phone of that size,
correct,
speed, whatever. But if I want to put it from my perspective, how the shifts happened in the past 20 years. And probably I will split it in a couple of points. The first one is the era of the telecommunication between the voice era, back the 20 years back. That was the only communication was the voice. I don't want to go into telex and fax, but I'm talking about
correct
telecommunication in that space. And then there was a new era came, which called the SMS era. Which is the message. Okay. Even when the BlackBerry were there, I mean, because the texting was the main communication.
Correct.
It was a new, and then that the third one, which is the new era that happens in the past 10 years, was the data. Okay. It was the data usage. The companies or the telcos started to sell, instead of selling minutes, they started to sell gigabytes.
Correct.
And this is where the change of this. So this is, I would say, one of the main shifts here. Second one is the dependencies on the mobility. The 20 years before, in the early 90s, mobility was something that not very much accepted. So that's the mobility became a part of the economically, culturally, usage, whatever you think of it, mobility became something that we cannot probably live without the communication where we go. I would say another shift is the shift from a luxury service to a necessity service, something that we breathe. Now, the only thing that you go back home or back to the office if you forget is your mobile. You forget your wallet, you can carry on. If you forget your wife, you carry on. So anything you forget, you don't think about it. So I think that's that shift from luxury to necessity, that's probably a major shift in the past 20 years. And I don't want to mention the consumption of data. Probably give you numbers. That was not 20 years back, but 10 years back, the consumption of data per user, which is all the data used divided by all the consumers, mobile, was around 1 giga per month.
Correct.
But now 1 giga per month, a couple of videos you download with a high definition or whatever. So it went up 20, 30, 50 folds in no time. So that's, I would say, the major shift in the telcos. I don't want to go in technology just to probably...
Fascinating. So, you know, it's interesting you speak about mobility. And when you were talking, I was just thinking, when I was growing up, mobility first meant in my father's house, taking your, you know, rotary phone with a long cable to your garden.
Absolutely.
And then that evolved into the cordless phone.
Exactly.
And that was all mobility which I remember thinking of. Yeah, but fascinating. Absolutely. But Ihab, moving on, you know, like most utilities, when mobile telephony came in, it was a very, very hot item. But now it's been commoditized. And as you said very correctly, from voice, it has graduated, went through data and, you know, into entertainment and all kinds of personal devices. What are your thoughts on commoditization of the telecom world?
Yeah, I think that's a normal and a natural, probably evolving of any service. So when the service became a necessity and gets a very high reach on the whole globe and the whole population, it's automatically turned to commodity part. And to be honest with you, that it became a necessity. I mean, even if you look at probably the UN human rights, mm-hmm. Access to education, probably food, water, clean water, electricity, telecommunication connectivity became one of those human rights that is supported by the UN. And the reason for that is because it solves other issues when it comes to education, when it comes to medical reach, when it comes to financial inclusion. So it became a commodity by nature of the reach and by nature of very high penetration on the globe. So I think that's a normal thing.
That's a normal thing, is it? Interesting. And the other thing that is very interesting in the telecom world is consolidation. Yeah. You know, I remember 20 years ago, there were dozens of operators in India. And I'm sure in virtually every country, everyone who had little money said, I can be in telecom. Yeah. Now there's a lot of consolidation happening. My question to you is, what is your perspective on whether current players will survive or will there be further consolidation?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. And actually, in every boardroom in the telecom space, every regulator or policymaker thinks of what is the correct number of telecom operator in a country. Mm-hmm. And there is a studies that you get to that. But to answer you on the consolidation and then the survival, I would say consolidation, we will see more of consolidation. Okay. And the reason of consolidation, it's a normal evolving in the maturity of any industry. If you look at the financial industry, for example, banking, banking is much longer than the mobile, I would say, or telecom technology or sector is from an age perspective. So naturally, we've seen a lot of consolidation in the banking sector, in the insurance industry. So all the mature industries naturally goes to consolidation. And the reason for that is, one, when competition goes high, margin starts to go down, profits started to go a bit lower because of competition, then you need to consolidate for non-organic growth, I would say, or optimization of cost. Instead of three players, two is enough, and so on and so forth. So I would say we will see more of a consolidation.
Okay.
And I will come to that consolidation that might happen not only between telcos, we will see consolidation cross sectors, and I will come
to that. Okay.
Just to answer the other question of the survival, I think they will survive. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason for the telcos to go out of the business. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the whole ecosystem, looking at it holistically, between consumers, between corporate customers, between connectivity, cable business, between any consumer, even game developers, even app developers, startups, all of them, they need one common thing, which is strong infrastructure. So infrastructure between cables, between copper, I would say, when it was copper, but now it's fiber, between the wireless, be it 3G, 4G, 5G, and more to come, or satellite. All these things are infrastructure that is needed for the new world of telecommunication usage. So all the telcos, they will own the infrastructure. Maybe their margins will go from probably double digit yield to single digit because it's more of an infrastructure returns rather than, again, back to the commodities and the infrastructure. So I think they will, I don't see any reason for them not to survive yet. Telcos, which is like any other industries, with age, you become a dinosaur. You became a dinosaur. So if dinosaurs, if they don't transform, now show me any dinosaur in the street. So they go. So they need to do something in order to transform and think differently. So that's
my very interesting. So, you know, a few minutes ago, you spoke about data. And I want to ask you my next question on data. When I started working, and you know, in the 80s, when computers came to India, everything was being talked of in KB. Then it became MB. Now GB is not enough, and now people are saying data is the new gold rush or the new oil. I'd like to get your perspective on how you think a lot of this data that is being collected will be mined and used.
I would say gold rush is underestimated.
Okay.
I think it's going to be more than that. So the name of the game is data. Okay. So that's it's a given. And the reason for that is the more you know about your customer, the more understands the behavior, and not behavior and knowing the data, age and the male or female or sex. No, that became the old data. Data. The way you think, the way you behave, the way even consume, the way you eat, every single piece of data will be used, utilized, and monetized. And that's some people, they say it. It's a bad thing on how you utilize the. And I will come to the data private protection or data protection of the consumer.
Sure.
They're not touching the privacy of that. But let's stay from the business perspective, that the more you understand the consumer, be it a single simple consumer, 10 years, 15 years, or if a large corporate, the more you understand, the more you can serve that customer in a better way. It will be a better way of living, a better life. Better. So a lot of things, those data can be used or utilized. So I believe that every single data has value. The question is how we consolidate all these data, how we have an access to all these data. And this is where blockchain coming in. This is where the data mining, the data analytics, and this is the new, I would say, new streams of businesses, even in universities. Probably this is the highest number of jobs, I would say, opening in the world between data and analytics. So I believe data will always be monetized and utilized. But the question is on the privacy. And I think Europe started, I think, probably on the data privacy the regulations. They were ahead of the rest of the world, and then the rest of the world started to follow them, because some countries, I don't want to mention names of the countries, the issue of data privacy is not something that they really care about, like how Europe they do. But now they are following, because it became a must. So if you are a user of, for example, a UK user of a mobile, you roam in an X country that doesn't really worry about the regulations. The operator is under threat or under pressure from the regulations in the UK. So, so I think it will find its way to get the consensus of the consumer in sharing the data, but it is the future. Actually, it's the present.
Fantastic. So one more question to you relating to telecom before I move to the next segment. Given your vast experience, if you were sitting in front of a crystal ball now and thinking, where do I see telecom 5 years from now? I'd love to get your perspective.
Probably... where I would like to see it, where I would see it.
Where you would see it, okay.
Okay, it's better because that's different. Actually, I would see it. By the way, it depends on the countries. Some countries, they are really ahead of the curve than the
other. Yeah.
But whatever I'm gonna thinking of how it will look like. Mm. We're talking about an advanced countries
sure.
that they are ahead, but not the ones that they are.
No, advanced countries, absolutely right.
So I would say that everything will be on the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will be connected to the 5G.
Mm.
The IoT or the Internet of Things yeah. will be everywhere
mm-hmm.
in anything we do, from any device, any feature, anything in our lives, it will be totally connected mm-hmm. in a way or another and monitored, which will enhance the quality of life
mm-hmm.
from efficiency, from probably customer experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll come to the social part mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the social part will go down when you sure. have too much automation, mm-hmm. which is something different. And remember, probably 20 years back, I was mm-hmm. talking to an old guy. I don't know if he's still alive, but was guru back then in the telcos.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me, Abis, everything will have electricity or okay. power,
okay.
even low voltage or a battery, anything
mm-hmm.
will be connected to the
amazing
anything. So I said, how come? I mean, everything will be connected. So I think everything will be connected. We will see cars, of course, without drivers. Mm-hmm. We will see a better, I would say, medical system, health system. Efficiency will go higher. Less carbon probably
mm-hmm.
Because of the automation in
yeah.
the industrial part. So mm-hmm. I think we will see a better world in those countries.
Fascinating. So now let me move to your other role, which you have held as the former CEO of Batelco's international investments. I'd love to get your perspective on what were your considerations to make such investments.
Okay, let me give you a quick the reason when I was as group CEO of the telco and in charge of all the operations of it worldwide. The main reason of the expansion of Batelco, and it was started before my time, and just mm-hmm. to be very blunt and to the point. The reason was that Batelco was in a small, lovely country called Bahrain,
mm-hmm.
and a population of 1.5 million. So the scalability of that market mm-hmm. has a limitation from
correct.
The population, not from ambitious
mm-hmm.
of the leadership and
the
advancement of the country, which is mm-hmm. really, I love that country. So the main solution for that was to expansion geographically,
mm-hmm.
where you go and you start expanding on a geographical part, which you can create synergies mm-hmm. and then building, I would say, the telco group of such. And this is how it started. And then mm-hmm. they started to invest in Kuwait, in Saudi, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started to go globally
mm.
in the UK, in the Channel Islands, and mm. in the Maldives, in India. They had we had a telco back then before some changes in the market happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the expansion was for a reason. What's the consideration of to answer the question in the investment? And this is where I carried on when I took over.
Mm.
We were trying to acquire companies that has, I would say, a higher maturity
mm-hmm.
digital
mm-hmm.
Index, where it can help the group
correct.
To grow their digital mm-hmm. capabilities. We were considering markets that has stability politically, economically, mm-hmm. regulation perspective. You don't want to go to a country that the political or economical scene is not stable. So mm. foreign investment also always looking for stability.
Mm.
We were looking in a market that not too big, okay, but a market that we can have a bigger stake in that operations and can digest from the size of their investments. So so we're looking more of Ireland rather than a massive countries in order for us to have the consolidation on that part. That was the direction. And then the direction going into investing in the non-telco space. And this is all every telco started to think to invest outside of that.
Right.
In the cloud, be it on the data centers, be it on the fintech, or be it on the funds to participate in certain funds. So that was the direction.
Fascinating. So we have time for one more question. And I'm trying to decide what to ask you, but I'm going to ask you this question because, you know, you have been a global CEO. You've run businesses across markets. You've led investments across markets. My question to you is, what are the most important qualities a CEO running a global business must have?
Oh, that's, I will go with the first one, that he has to be a human being, a good heart, good human.
Okay.
That's a must. The second one, I would say, if you running a multicultural, you need to accept cultures. So you cannot just put yourself in one culture that you know or you are living in, and you go and operate in other in a different cultures. And we've seen totally different cultures between two extremes.
Correct.
So that person has to have a lot of a culture acceptance, I would say. Third one, I would say, has to be a very persistent. And this is where you want to be persistent to make your goals achieved. And you cannot know for an answer. You need to keep pushing. I would say also resilience. Okay. So you need to be more of resilient, persistent. That's I would say, the qualities of a CEO.
Wonderful. So one more question now, and this is about the young generation who has entered our workforce, the millennials and the Gen Zs. You must have worked with many generations of people, and like me, over the last 40 odd years, multiple people, but the younger people today are completely different. They have taken on this world and will probably change it from my generation, who's left a mess. I'd love to get your perspective on what is it like to manage the millennials and the Gen Zs.
To be honest with you, they are dictating the way we do business now. I mean, they are the clients. And always I say, use this example that boardroom, average age of boardrooms is around 65 years. And average age of the management executives is around the 45 years. And the clients, they are average age of 15.
Wow.
Decision-making 70 years or 65. Managed by 45, the client is 15. So if you don't understand the way they think, the way they behave, doesn't mean that you're not a consumer or not a consumer. We are. But the change happened from that generation. And we used to do, a thinking tank, brainstorming sessions. We bring kids to the boardrooms.
Okay.
And people, they were laughing at us. You're bringing kids to the, those kids, they are paying your salary, my friend. I mean, this is the way they behave. And to be honest with you, on I remember in one of the sessions, when one of the kids, we were asking him about Facebook, and the answer said, what? Facebook? You're still using Facebook. So that's nothing wrong with the Facebook. I mean, they changed the world, but now with the new generation, they barely. It became for the old people. And that's why they are now transforming and thinking of the second step.
Correct.
The second piece of their life, and Mark Zuckerberg, I mean, doing a major change. But so I believe those the new generations and more to come. And I remember when if any 20 or 15 years back, if any family give a mobile to their kids, they are less than or younger than 12 years old. They are.
Correct.
Now, if it's 4 years old, it's very nice.
I know.
So I think they're dictating our way of of thinking as the corporate people, how to prepare the services for them.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Ihab, on that note, thank you so much. It has been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for talking at such length and so much depth about what's happening in the world of telecom. Thank you for looking into your crystal ball and telling us what to expect or where we think developed countries will go. And thank you for all that you are doing. So good luck and thank you again.
Thank you so much, Ashish. It's really a pleasure and wish you all the best. Please keep doing what you are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.